It's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown, out on the edge of the prairie. It's gotten cold up there, just genuinely cold, and it's cold. We can tell it's cold because the teenagers are now putting on jackets and scarves and mittens and hats and so forth. We've been nagging at them now for weeks, and finally they do, and finally people can turn on their furnaces without feeling sheepish about it. And so we see Fred's furnace repair truck has been in town just about every day for the last week and a half. Now that it's gotten really cold, you wake up in the morning, there's frost out on the grass, and people thinking about mowing the lawn, but the frost kind of lets you off that job. Fred is a good furnace repairman, and we treasure him. He just has this ability to put his hands on a furnace that's dead and bring it back to life. It's really quite remarkable. He plays in a band. He's a songwriter. Plays in a band down at the Sidewinder every Saturday night, and he wants to go to Austin, Texas, to the South by Southwest and be discovered by somebody. We dread the very thought of him leaving because we treasure him for his ability to fix furnaces. That's something we actually need. We don't really need more songs about loneliness on the long highway, which is don't really. So people don't buy his CDs, and they don't go to see him down at the Sidewinder for fear they might encourage him. And so he's planning to move away and move to Austin because he feels the people around Lake Wobegon don't appreciate him, you see. It's the human dilemma in action there. We are wanted, you and I, for reasons we don't understand as we dream of doing something that nobody really cares about. This dawned on me years ago when people walked up and told me in great honesty that they recorded the news from Lake Wobegon and they used it to put small children to sleep at night. And they would write complaining letters if there was too much loud laughter because it woke up the kids. I realized that your dreams in life are sort of indeterminate. You just have to go where you go and make the best of it. Thanksgiving coming up soon, and it's not the feast that it used to be, of course. A lot of the great queen mothers who ruled over this like a military operation and who pulled off this Norman Rockwell Thanksgiving, this picture-perfect Thanksgiving, they have gone off to their rest, and they have been succeeded by their daughters who now are grandmas who cannot cook. And many descendants of Lake Wobegon celebrate Thanksgiving in distant cities where the dinner is brought to them by a boy on a bicycle bringing dinner in big plastic bags. And grandma doesn't even worry about taking the food out of the little white paper cartons. She just sets it out on the table for everybody along with the chopsticks and Grandpa doesn't say the grace before the meal. People look up towards him at the end of the table, and he says, "Well, what are we waiting for? Dig in." That's Thanksgiving in a lot of places. The lutefisk dinner still goes on as always. Somehow this is preserved at Lake Wobegon Lutheran Church. Lutefisk is a food which is despised by most people, and which is beloved to a minority of people. So it's a way of holding that minority together, don't you see? It's prized by Swedes and Norwegians, some Danes, not too many, but mostly Norwegians. And Danes have pretty much gone the route of the road of good taste. It's dried cod, which is reconstituted with a lye solution, and then you rinse it, but it's never can be rinsed enough, and then you boil it or you bake it until it has the consistency of jello, a kind of a fish jello. And it would gag a goat, but it's beloved by by the Norwegians in our town. They swear by it. And a lot of people have reprehensible food that is precious to them. There are people in the Middle East for whom a boiled sheep's head is a great delicacy. There are people in Sardinia who like to eat this rancid cheese, which has larvae, living larvae in it. There are places in the world where they eat ants' eggs and swear by it. And if you went to visit them at their holiday, you would want to do that too. The legend is that the Vikings used lutefisk to poison their enemies, the Anglos and the Teutons. And so they defeated them by killing them with this horrible food. And then to celebrate their victory, they made it into a feast. And but who knows? It's going on at the Lake Wobegon Lutheran Church. Myron, the old usher at Lake Wobegon Lutheran, could not be there because he had to have a knee replacement this fall. He retired as an usher way back in June, and then he put off the knee replacement because he was busy fishing and he was thinking about going hunting as well, but it just couldn't be. So he went in to have the knee replacement, which was not that bad. Myron is a farmer. And he has perspective, you see, because he's an old man. He's led a long and interesting life. And one time, this would have been about 20 years ago, no, 15 years ago, he was dragged around a cornfield one fall afternoon by his tractor when his pant leg got caught in the combine. And he was dragged around. The tractor somehow fell into gear, and he was dragged round and round in a circle that got tighter and tighter over corn stubble and rocks as the blower was aimed directly at him and blew shredded corn stalks at him as he tried to get himself free. It was a tight circle. He was yelling at the top of his voice, but nobody could hear him over the roar of the tractor. And finally, he got himself loose and he scrambled away and had to run away from the tractor, which was chasing him in this tight circle. He couldn't get any help. His mother was in the house, but she'd been demented for years. He'd been there taking care of her. She'd suffered this early dementia. You could call it premature, but who knows when dementia is supposed to strike. And she just was extremely paranoid, and she felt that the house was surrounded by Catholics and they were putting something in the water. And when she heard about the tractor incident, then she figured that was the work of the Catholics. Myron never wore denim overalls after that. He was the only farmer who would wear silk pants when he went out to work in the field. It looks like a sad life from a distance, but who knows? Who knows? He fell in love with Lois in high school, and he was crazy about her. She wasn't that crazy about him, but nonetheless, he had his chance. But he couldn't marry because he had to take care of his mother, who lived a lot longer than you would want a demented person to live. So he took care of his mother most of his life, and then he had to go in and get that knee replaced. And it wasn't that bad compared to being dragged around in a field by a tractor. Kind of gives you a baseline there for your experience. He went into a nursing home and he loved it. He absolutely loved it, loved the food, and he loved the nurses, and he fell in love with a young nurse who reminded him so much of Lois back when they were kids. And why not? Because she was Laurie, Lois's daughter, who works as a nurse at the nursing home. He was crazy about her. And he followed her around, just staring at her. And he started to get kind of loopy himself. Now, this last Saturday night, Pastor Liz was in her study, and she was working on her sermon about 1 o'clock Sunday morning, and she got a call, and it was from Lois. And Lois said, "My toilet is plugged, and I don't know what to do." Well, Liz gets these calls from people, odd calls. You don't expect, they don't teach you about this in divinity school, especially from old people who just don't know who else to call for help. Liz went back to work on her sermon. She was writing her sermon. She wrote, "The gospel is a powerful tool, and sometimes we must take it in both hands and push hard to get things moving again." And then Lois called her up. She said, "I can't find a plunger." "Oh, I'll come over," said Pastor Liz. She took her plunger. She walked over to Lois's house. Lois Everson, now Ernest, died 2 years ago. So she took her plunger and she got it all unstuck. Lois said, "Why don't you sit down and have a cup of coffee?" "Okay, sure. It's 2 o'clock in the morning, but that's all right. I'll get to the sermon eventually." And they sat down around the table, and she brought out some donut holes and some coffee, Folgers coffee, not really the kind that Pastor Liz prefers. They sat there. And Lois said, "You know, I missed Ernest a lot, especially when things go wrong with the plumbing, because he always took care of those things. And ever since he died now, I've been on my own, but there are a lot of benefits too I can tell you about. And one is that I don't have to be making a big Thanksgiving dinner." "No, he always expected that, and I just got so tired of it. Now I don't have to do that anymore." Liz said, you're going someplace for Thanksgiving?" "Well," Lois said, "I'm going to the casino is where I'm going. All my old friends from the Lutheran church, all those old ladies used to make funeral lunches and make the Sunday night suppers. I meet them all out there at the casino. We sit down and have a little turkey dinner there, and the restaurant's cheap out there, and play a little blackjack. I won $1,200 last Thanksgiving. Now that's something to be thankful for." "No, I don't need to ever do that again, ever again." She seemed so pleased with herself. And then they heard somebody singing outside on the lawn. There was snow falling, and he was singing, "I love you truly, truly dear. Life with its troubles, life with its fear, fade into dreams when I see you near. I love you truly, truly dear." It was Myron standing out there on the lawn singing to Lois, who he thought was a young woman, her daughter. Lois said, "Oh, that's Myron. He's been acting up. Laurie's been telling me about him." She opened the window a crack and she stood off to the side. She said, "What do you want?" He said, "I want Lois. Can she come out?" "No, it's too late. 2 o'clock in the morning. Go home. Couldn't she come just for 1 minute? You go home, Myron Olson. You go home, and I got 2 words for you. Behave. You go home." "Good night and happy Thanksgiving." How do you put this in a sermon? Pastor Liz was not sure, but that's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, and all the children are above average.